it's not really a question of if you're going to be impacted by a cyber incident. It's a matter of when. It's just a case of what that impact is going to be. And that really depends on how well prepared an organization is, if they have the ability to detect and then obviously respond to cyber threats in pretty much real time.
Welcome to the Ireland-Canada Connection, a podcast series brought to you by the Ireland-Canada Business Association that explores the deep and growing connections between Ireland and Canada. I am your host, Patrick Haughey, and in this episode, I meet Kieran Luttrell, Director of Operations at eCentire, a global cybersecurity services company headquartered in Ontario, Canada, and with a European base in Ireland. Cyber attacks on businesses are more prevalent now than ever before, and Kieran has some great advice about the top threats facing companies right now, who is behind these threats, and how businesses can protect themselves from such attacks. He also talks about what it was about Ireland that attracted eCentire to set up a base there, how the company manages to attract and retain its team members at such a competitive time and in such a competitive space, and he also has advice for any Canadian companies that are looking at Ireland as a potential base in Europe. But Kieran starts by talking a little bit about what eCentire does.
Yeah, hi Patrick. So eCentire is a global cybersecurity services company. So we've been in operation now for 20 years this year. We're headquartered in Waterloo, Ontario in Canada. And throughout that 20 years, I suppose our mission has remained to protect businesses from cyber attack. Here in Ireland, we've been in operation since 2015, and we've grown the company here to a local presence of about 35 people. And just to, I suppose, elaborate on the services that we offer, the name they're known by is Managed Detection and Response, and we consider ourselves to be the authority in Managed Detection and Response. What that is essentially is the ability to detect cyber attacks at an early stage and respond to them quickly, shutting them down, blocking network traffic that could be malicious, and if necessary, isolating hosts from the network if they've been infected.
What is a typical cyber attack? What are the kind of the main threats at the moment facing businesses?
Yeah, so I mean, if you take a snapshot of the industry, it's probably been the busiest year for cybercrime. You know, looking at Ireland specifically, a recent report I read, the cost of the Irish economy in 2020 was estimated to be 9.6 billion. And to put that in context, in 2014, it was 630 million. So it's over a tenfold increase in, you know, 6-7 years. The threat landscape in terms of the types of attacks is extensive, but we obviously see a lot of people or malicious actors using phishing as a point of entry into a client's network. And increasingly this year, we've seen a lot of ransomware, as you've probably read in online and so on. So ransomware has evolved, I suppose, Patrick, from being something that was a bit of a nuisance crime a number of years ago, where, you know, threat actors were charging smaller amounts of ransoms to essentially decrypt data from a victim that they had encrypted. But it's really evolved since then. So, you know, this year we see attacks like the HSE attack, which has basically paralyzed the HSE for a number of weeks or even months, the cost of which is estimated to be in the hundreds of millions of euros. And they're using techniques such as double or even treble extortion. So they're not just interested in encrypting data anymore and charging to decrypt it. They're now also threatening to exfiltrate that data and publish it online on the dark web and selling essentially data records that they've exfiltrated. So the threat has really elevated, I think, with this. If we look back at 2021, you know, not just the HSE, we've seen government agencies in the United States be impacted by ransomware. We've seen critical infrastructure. We've seen, you know, critical manufacturing industries in food and so on be impacted. So it's really elevated now. And I think what we've seen with global law enforcement is that there's a recognition that ransomware isn't just a nuisance anymore. It's reached that tipping point now, where it's having huge impacts and it needs to be dealt with as such.
The exponential growth in this threat been down to increased sophistication by the people carrying out the crimes, or has it been just the exponential growth in the amount of business being done online, or is it a little bit of both?
Yeah, good question. I think it's a little bit of both. Definitely the sophistication for the threat actors has really increased. You know, people have this vision of hackers or cyber attackers as these kind of guys in hoods in their mother's basements, you know, that kind of image that we see. It's really evolved since something like that. We would kind of call those kind of script kiddies. You know, we're dealing with nation state attackers now. We're dealing with large organized crime outfits, essentially cyber crime gangs that are very well organized, well funded, and have a lot of tools and techniques available to them. It's very easy for them to wreak havoc and cause a lot of damage and have a huge impact quite easily. So, and then as you say, that's kind of paired with the amount of things that have moved online over the last number of years. Everything, even in your house, has probably got some element of smartness to it now and is connected to the internet. And some of these things haven't been built with security in mind. So in some cases, we're playing catch up a little bit on that.
Are big enterprise companies more likely to be attacked than SMEs, or is it both?
It really is both. I think that's definitely a perception in the industry that, you know, if you're a Facebook or a Google or a Microsoft, you know, you're more likely to be hit with cyber attacks, and you need to have better defenses and so on. We see a lot of activity in the small and medium enterprise sector as well. You know, so for example, we would work a lot with the legal sector, and a lot of law firms would not be large enterprise. They would be medium size or even small size organizations, but they hold a lot of critical data and data that can be useful if stolen. Yeah. So that's a sector that's particularly susceptible to cybercrime and is of a smaller size. And we see it now across all sectors, not just legal. So it's very much a mix of the small and medium sector and also still the large enterprise as well, I think equally so.
And in terms of how well they are equipped to actually deal with this, you know, we would imagine large enterprises have IT teams, heads of IT, CTOs, and so they may be quite well protected, whereas the smaller firms may not be, because they don't have an IT team. Maybe they're outsourcing it or they're dealing with it themselves. So is that something that you see?
It is. So we deal with clients. So we've over 1,000 clients, as I said earlier, and a lot of them would be in the small or medium sector. And, you know, some of them are well prepared. You know, they've taken cyber quite seriously. Again, they might be in the legal sector, so they know they have to. Others are less prepared, as you say. They don't have an IT staff. They don't have a lot of security expertise. They may be outsourcing their IT. So really, it is a wide mix. But I think it is important that those smaller size companies, you know, take this kind of thing quite seriously. There's definitely a recognition now that we've always had this mantra, but I think it's becoming more widely accepted as well, is that it's not really a question of if you're going to be impacted by a cyber incident. It's a matter of when. Wow. And we see that. I think it's just a case of what that impact is going to be, and that really depends on how well prepared an organization is, if they have the ability to detect and then obviously respond to cyber threats in pretty much real time. And it's a 24/7 task to do that. It's not something you can do just 9 to 5, you know, and pack it up on the holidays and at Christmas and stuff. This thing unfortunately goes on all the time, 24/7, 365. In fact, we see a lot of threat actors taking advantage of things like Thanksgiving holidays and other things like that to sort of launch and detonate malware that's maybe been dormant on a system for a while, because they know that victim is going to be less prepared at those times.
And where does eCentire fit into this whole process?
Yeah, so I suppose what eCentire does is we can do your complete security, in terms of if you are one of those smaller, mid-sized organizations, don't have an IT team, certainly don't have a security team, we can come in and basically provide that frontline monitoring and detection and response service for you. Or if you're a larger enterprise customer or company, we can potentially augment what you're already doing. So you may have gaps in your security posture. Be it at the detection level or the response level, you might need an incident response partner should something really bad happen and you need boots on the ground. You know, so we can slot in a variety of ways. I think the most common way we do it is essentially being that main frontline service for our clients and being the primary piece that they use to detect threats and respond to them. So we would, for example, work then as an extension of a company's IT or security team and very much kind of work hand in hand. It's very much viewed as a partnership rather than a supplier, if that makes sense.
And you have over 1,000 partners, as you mentioned. I guess I assume they're spread across a number of countries, including Canada and Ireland.
Absolutely. Yeah. I suppose that the majority of our customer base would be North American in the US and Canada. You know, we in 2021 have certainly started to increase our international customer base as well in the UK, but also throughout EMEA and also into Asia Pacific. We've got customers now in Australia. We've had customers in Hong Kong and so on for a number of years as well. So very much, you know, we've got companies and customers at a global level. But even those kind of North American headquartered or based companies would often have a lot of presence in different parts of the world as well. So we would deal with them. For example, it could be a North American headquartered company with a strong presence in the UK. And we would work with their local security team here in the UK, for example.
You mentioned that you were HQ'd in Canada. So when did eCentire's Irish operations begin?
Yeah, so it began in late 2014 in terms of starting to think about an international presence and doing a bit of a recce, I suppose, on some different possible locations. And that extended then into 2015 when we formally decided to build a base here in Ireland and hire a team. And we, I suppose, officially opened the office then. I think it was September of that year in 2015.
And were you with eCentire at that time?
I was lucky to be the first man in. You know, the initial plan involved hiring a local manager to head up the security operations center function, and I was lucky to be selected for that. So I was employee number one on the Irish side, and we've built that now to, I think it's about 35 people now that we have throughout Ireland and across a few different functions. But the primary function is still the security operations center. So we have about 25 people, all technical people that would work in that sector.
Yeah, and was that, as far as you know, was that one of the reasons that eCentire ended up choosing Ireland as the base because of the wealth of technical talent in the country?
Very much so, yeah, very much so. So security operations is very much the core of eCentire. So it's how we deliver our services to our clients and protect them from cyber threats. And that was the main function that they wanted to put into an international location such as Ireland. And to do that, you have to have access to talent. And that's a global challenge. I read a figure recently that there's actually 4 million unfilled security roles globally in 2021. So there's a huge challenge with companies trying to fill these roles. So access to talent and strong talent was a key factor for eCentire when they were looking at a location. And specifically Cork, we have got a very strong partnership with Munster Technological University locally. And I think they're regarded throughout Ireland nationally as being a real top tier institution that outputs really solid graduates and does so in the cyber sector as well. So, you know, that's one of the key reasons why eCentire chose this location. And it's an interesting story, actually, when I look back, when they were looking at locations, they had a couple of other ones on the list of potential places as well, and on the continental Europe side. And they came to Ireland first, worked with the IDA, put a very strong itinerary together, and they actually ended up cancelling the other itineraries in the other countries. They were happy with what they saw in Ireland, and they you know... place their flag here, I suppose, without having to actually see any other places. They were very happy with what they saw.
That's really interesting. And in terms of this idea of choosing a location outside of Dublin, do you think that's going to become more and more prevalent because the infrastructure is developing? The idea that you don't have to be in Dublin has definitely kind of come on over the last couple of years due to the pandemic and various other factors.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think that's happened already as well. So interestingly, there is a cluster that was formed just about 2 years ago called Cyber Ireland. And it's actually headquartered in Cork out of Munster Technological University. It was initially backed by the IDA, and now it's got a member contribution system going. But I was reading some stats on a report that they generated, and Cork actually has the highest density of cyber people working in the cyber industry. You know, obviously it's prorated based on the population size. There's more companies and people in Dublin, but if you look at the size comparison, the density is actually more on the Cork side. And I think, you know, outside of cyber and other tech companies and so on, it's been happening for a number of years, Patrick, that we've seen the regions, as the IDA calls them, you know, the Southwest region, the West region, Waterford, you know, the Southeast, all of those different locations have become very strong and have their own advantages for companies to set up bases there. So I think there's a really good blend now. But the Southeast here and Cork in particular is very strong on the cyber side.
Yeah.
You know, when we set up here in 2015, there was really only ourselves, maybe one or two other companies or security functions here. That's really expanded. You know, we've got multiple different companies who are either cyber by their nature, you know, they deliver cyber security services or products, or we've got companies who aren't in cyber, but they've got their security function here. So they might be a healthcare provider or something, but they've placed their cybersecurity function here in Cork, and it's a very, very popular place for that.
Well, one of the challenges for companies internationalizing and establishing bases in other geographies is actually keeping the various locations connected, keeping the culture consistent, and keeping people feeling like they're all part of the one company, even though they're maybe thousands of miles apart. What's been your experience in eCentaur in relation to that challenge?
Yeah, look, that's a very good question. And undoubtedly, that's a challenge and an issue is having that sort of concise or cohesive culture. So we've done a number of things, I suppose, to kind of maintain that. So we, for example, when we initially set up here, we had people over from Canada for sort of 6 to 12 months and worked as part of the Cork SOC location to sort of help keep things consistent at those early stages, I suppose, when we were still developing and kind of building the operation here. As the years went on, obviously there wasn't a need to continue to do that, but what we did instead is a sort of a revised what we call a SOC exchange program, where we had the opportunity for analysts to spend time in their alternate location. So we had, I think it was three groups of about four people each, spend 3 weeks over in the Canadian HQ working there. And conversely, we had a couple of groups come over from Canada and spend time here as well. Obviously, at a management level, we'd have regular enough, you know, a couple of times a year, we'd be exchanging between locations as well. And I suppose, you know, that's really helped us to solidify that consistent method of operation between locations and also that cultural piece. But you're right, it's definitely a challenge. But I suppose one of the other factors leading to eCentaur setting up in Ireland and in Cork was a kind of a common culture anyway. Obviously, not just because we're English-speaking countries, but there's a very similar kind of work ethic and culture, I feel, between a Canadian company and an Irish company. I've certainly felt that, and I've worked for American companies before, and as well as local Irish companies, and I definitely feel there's a good, strong connection there from the outset. Even the Waterloo region, in Ontario, it would have a lot of similarities to Cork, actually, as a kind of a tech hub and also in terms of size. It's not Dublin, it's not Toronto, you know, there's some synergies there straight away. So yes, there was challenges, but they weren't too extensive either. We were certainly able to kind of work through them.
Well, look, that's a lovely piece of advice just in relation to having that, the transfer of team members between the both countries to try and keep things consistent. Would you have any other advice for a Canadian company who is thinking of establishing in Ireland, maybe some of the things they can do to help them make the decision, whatever the decision ends up being, and also once they have put down roots in Ireland, some of the challenges they might expect and some of the things that have worked for eCentaur in terms of overcoming them?
Yeah, great question. So like when I think back to our journey here over the last number of years, I would say at the outset, my advice would be if you're considering Ireland as a location, engage with the IDA very early on. So the Industry Development Agency of Ireland, they're extremely strong at what they do. You know, there's a reason why Ireland has been so successful at attracting foreign direct investment and huge companies here. because they really know their stuff. They will help you as a potential company coming here to find your feet. They'll put an itinerary together for you, or you meet other companies in your sector, educational providers, government parties, whatever you need to do. They'll put that together for you. They'll make it extremely easy. And I would definitely recommend engaging with them early rather than maybe trying to go your own for a little bit. You know, there's no harm at all in working with them from the outset. So that'd be my first piece of advice. And thankfully, when I look back, that was a key factor for us. We did that, and it worked very well for us. I suppose my second piece would be, you know, that initial first year period has a lot going on. You're getting established, you know, there's everything from finding a premises to setting up a legal entity to hiring staff. And it's a hugely busy time. But what I would say is don't lose sight of the sort of medium or longer term goals as well. So when you hire that team, you want to retain them, you know, not just for that initial sort of two, three, 5 year period. You want to be putting plans in place in terms of career progression, if they're younger staff, if you're hiring graduates. You know, you want to be thinking at the same time in a more medium term way. And that can often be overlooked, because that first year is so busy, so much going on. It's easy to lose sight of that. So I would definitely give that piece of advice to any company, whatever the sector is that they're in.
And actually, sorry to interrupt you, but on that note, the competition in Cork, for example, is huge for tech talent. You know, Apple, Amazon, TELUS International, there's so many great, large, well-established companies who are looking for the same people as you're looking for, and you have, I mean.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's important that honeymoon period, that excitement of joining a company that's establishing in a region, that will fade after a while, you know, whatever that period is, that first year to 2 years. So you want to have a plan to make sure that, you know, the staff that you've hired and trained and invested in have a good reason to stay with you. So, you know, obviously compensation is a part of it, but also increasingly the culture, the non-tangibles, I suppose, in terms of why employees want to stay with a company. You have to focus on those. I definitely think, looking back, that's probably the strongest piece of advice I would give to a company is, you know, look beyond that initial period in terms of progression and staff retention. It's hugely competitive in all sectors, as you say, with all these different companies here. So, you want to build a reason why, you know, your staff that you've invested in will stay with you in the longer term.
And then finally, Kieran, you are in an industry, as you mentioned, there's a massive shortage of people with your skills in your industry. So I guess you're not going anywhere anytime soon. Cybersecurity is the field you're in. There's huge opportunities, and it's something obviously that you enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. As you rightly said, this industry is just going to continue to grow. It is a really exciting industry to be in. It's very dynamic. It's ever changing. And I suppose it's also rewarding from the perspective of, you know, you can see a tangible impact in what you're doing day to day. So as we work with our clients, you know, I can think of multiple clients we've worked with this year where we've had a huge impact to essentially stop what could have been a very serious incident for them. Not just, you know, a small bit of business impact, but potentially a large scale sort of Chernobyl type issue for them where their business could have been massively impacted. So there's definitely a reward in that. You know, in terms of personal growth as well within your career, it's a great sector to be in. Whether you're at the technical side of cyber, working sort of at the coalface and investigating security incidents as maybe a SOC analyst, there's huge growth potential for technical people in the sector. But there's also huge growth in other parts of cyber in terms of more the business side of it. If you're into marketing, sales, obviously, like it's just a great sector to be in. So absolutely, it's one that I'm looking forward to continuing to developing in myself.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Kieran Luttrell, Director of Operations at eCentire. Thanks for joining us here on the Ireland-Canada Connection.
Thanks so much, Patrick.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed that chat with Kieran. If you did, please press the follow button if you're listening on Spotify, and the subscribe button if you are on Apple Podcasts. It's free, and it means you'll be notified next time we publish a new episode of the Ireland-Canada Connection. To find out more about the Ireland-Canada Business Association, just visit irelandcanada.com. And until next time, take care.